to begin giving Shevach Vaidah to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that we're holding at this point, end of a long year of Baruch Hashem, everybody on their level to have Hatzlocha, everyone on their level steigt and grew. And every one of us has to give our own personal Shevach Vaidah to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that you're holding at the end of a year, Baruch Hashem, of growth, of being a Ben Torah, a Ben Aliyah, and a Beis Medrash. A lot of things to talk about. We'll try to accomplish as much as we can in the amount of time that we have. I think the first thing that's on everyone's mind that I think it's important to talk about, and you know, what we're going to discuss is negay everybody, even if you're not going to be here, it's still very negay you. So just, I think it's negay all of us about moving up to the Rishi Vashir is something that was concerning to everybody. And I think we have to talk about a few different points about this. The first nekuda that people have concern about, and it seems to be a challenge about, is somewhat of the speed. You know, in the first year we went a lot quicker, and we keep moving, and there's concern by many bachrim that we stay in the same daf beis almost the whole year, and if we're lucky get the daf gimel. I know bachrim have this concern, and we have to realize that part of steiging and growing is to get to a new level of iyun, and that's really what's going on in the Rishi Vashir. It's not, you know, you might not be turning so many pages of Gemara, but trust me, it's not a day that you're bored. You're turning pages of Rishonim and Achronim and everything, and you're going deeper, you're going more beyond. So you're turning pages also, which might not be pages of Gemara. But there's no moment that you have nothing to do because you're still on that days after 2 months. It's not like that. There's so much more to mine into, and you're being trained into a new level of Iyun. And learning how to be Ma'ayin and be Ma'amik in a sugya is really the true Torah that the Rebbeinu Shem had in mind. I just want to bring down two Ma'amikimus about this point, because it's something we have to know, that real Torah is the Iyun. You know, first of all, there's a famous Chazal that Torah is compared to Shemen Zayas. And the Chazal say, what way is Torah compared to olive oil? So the Gemara says, because Tchilosa is mar v'soifa imosok. The beginning is bitter, and the end is sweet. And the Mefarshim explain what that means is that when you have the olive, you have to really crush it and beat it and squeeze it. And finally, when you get everything out and you have the oil, then it can be sweet oil. But the beginning is bitter. And the same thing is with Torah. The real geschmack and the internal satisfaction of Torah is not just from reading the page. That's the reality. When you learn just the surface, that's not where the geschmack lies. It's when you taka, squeeze it out, and you bang it out from the olive, which can be bitter. But at the end of the day, that's where the sweetness of Torah lies. There's a Mayudika Chassam Seifa in Droshas. It's a Chelek Beis, an Amud Reish Pei Beis, where the Chassam Seifa writes, Ein Simcha Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu El Bepulpula V'Nitzuach Dairaisa. The true Simcha that Hashem has from Klal Yisrael learning Torah is their pilpul and their fighting in Torah. Ach Amru Chazal, the Chazal tell us on the Pasuk of Mishlei, Kol Yumei Oni Ro'im. All the days of the poor man are bitter. Eilu Bali Talmud. Those are the ones that are learning Gemara. The Toiv Lei Mishneh Tamid, Eilu Bali Mishneh. So what does this mean? Says the Chassam Seifa, learning Mishnah is something that's just the dry halacha. Ain't no ma'ainin, you're not ma'ainin anything. And therefore, it could feel like a satisfaction, it could feel like a toiv leiv of you know, you're going through it. But Hasameach ain't a toiv leib mishnas like Yehuba bli'in. At the end of the day, it's still this certain level of it's just surface. You're not really acquiring what the Torah is giving. It's very much a dry Mishnah, dry halacha. However, says the Chassam Sofer, when a person is ma'ayin and he goes into a deep, that kol yimei ani ro'im, it feels very hard. There's a gvaldika tirda in the iyun. The toil kills you. It's hardship. You knock yourself out by trying to understand the Rajba, trying to understand the Avnei Meluim. It's a killer in Kaychis. But that's what gives you the true satisfaction. The Chassam Sofer writes, that the knowledge alone, means the knowing, the understanding, that the Rabbeinu Shalom is so happy with what you're doing. Anu sameichim b'masha anu yoidim be'emes, Shakadosh Baruch Hu sameach b'ra'oisoi banav. The Rabbeinu Shalom is so joyous when he sees his children, as Klal Yisrael, minatzchim adodi. You see, two chavrus is fighting and learning. The Rabbeinu Shalom gets such pleasure from that. Kirvo mulchamta shal Torah, a war of the Mechama of Torah. U'malonu simcha gedoy l'yoysim mizeh, ma'ashakadosh baruch hu sameach. What more simcha do we have than knowing that Hashem is b'simcha? And we may well listen to a gvaldika point that Iyun HaTorah is what gives the true satisfaction. And even if at the time there's a bitterness and a hardship and a toil, but you could still even be b'simcha at that time, because you know this is the delight of the Rabbeinu Shalom, how b'simcha he is with you. So this is one Ma'ariv Makom about the Inyan of being Ma'ayin, of having the true sweetness and what Torah really is. In Seder HaYoyim also, I think we might have mentioned at the beginning of the year this Ma'ariv Makom, but it's a Gvaldika Ma'ariv Makom in his Derech HaLimud, how he talks so much about not going ahead and just learning the surface, but to really squeeze the grapes and get out the good wine from inside. And that's the real intention of what the Torah has inside it. That's only with the toil of Amelus and Yegiyah in the Amkus of Torah. We don't have time to read the whole Ma'ariv Makom, but Akoponim, this is the Nakuda we have to realize, you know, that people have this fright of next year going so much slower. It's not really slow, it's just more Iyun, more Oymik, and that's really the true level of Torah that Rabbeinu Shalom wants. And Mimela, it gives you a new appreciation for Amelos and Yegiya and Iyun. And you have to realize you're not turning pages of Gemara, but you're turning other pages. This is not a moment of boredom, of not knowing what to do. It's just going deeper in a sugya. So you have to, you know, go with the mindset of appreciation for that. A second point, the Reshiva Shir. I know many are very nervous about going to the Reshiva Shir, seeing the complexity of it and all that. But I have a very interesting observation of all the years of the Eilam moving up to the Reshiva Shir. Somehow during Elul, come on, everybody gets the Shir. And it's always so mind-boggling because the shir doesn't get hotter as the year goes on. It's the same shir throughout the whole year. And what I learned from that observation is that you come in Elul and you put in all your kaychis and you taka get it. It's harder work and you put in that work and you get it. Usually, naturally, like all of us, we all let go of our guard and then you stop working as hard. Some people continue working hard and keep getting shir. And then there are always those that fizzle out. And those are the ones usually not getting the shir because they let down their guard of working very hard. But in essence, in truth, you know, the metzias is that as much as it's a harder shir, but it's not that you can't get it. You have to work harder. Yes, you have to work harder. And most bachim go in working that hard and get it during Elul's month. So they get it in the beginning of the year. Later on in the year, when they stop getting it, it's not because of sheer changed madrigas. It's usually they just let go of their guard, and they're starting to be going autopilot, and maybe Shia doesn't work with autopilot in the Rishiva Shia. So it's an important point to know that the Shia is very much minyan of every Bachar, every Talmud. There's nothing to be frightened about, just, you know, you're stepping up to a new level of amelus and working harder. But it's in your yichilus. A third point that Bachram are very nervous about, it's also an important point to know, is getting shaykhs with the reshiva. I'll tell you like this, Rav Meir Stern, Shlitel, Zayin Gezunt and Shtar, the reshiva of Psaik Yeshiva, had way more shtolts than Rabbi Grubner. And I had a tremendous shaykhs with him. It's not at all, just because the Rishiva is not going to be outgoing, and Rav Meir Stern never said hello to us and give us a good big Shalom Aleichem in the morning when you bump into him in the hallway. He didn't do any of that stuff. But at the end of the day, if you wanted a Shaychus, at least in my days, Rav Meir Stern, you were able to get it. You ran after him, you talked to him in learning, you talked to him about other Inyanim, and you developed a relationship, you developed a Shaychus. The Rishiva here is no different than that. There are many, many, many Bachrim who feel that they have a strong shaykhus with Yeshiva. And therefore, you have to realize that even though there's a certain level of shtolz that the Yeshiva carries, and he's not giving you that pat on the back and that Bolam Shalom Aleichem in the morning, but he's available to get a gewaldig relationship with you if you want it, it's there and available, and people have been nana and got that. So it's all in your hands to get that shaychus. And once we're on that note, I want to realize also is that every bachar, you need a reshiva for life. Bachar needs someone that he could talk to at all different stages as he moves along, one stage to the next, throughout life. You need someone to talk to. Till today, at times I run to Pesach and talk to Rav Meir Stern. You need a reshiva for life, there's no question about it. Many, 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 many Talmidim really got a good appreciation in having the reshiva, a reshiva for life. They found a gevaldika relationship in Shaychas, and Itaka developed a good reshiva for life that they have. They talk to reshiva for everything they... As they're moving on in life, many of them are married for many, many years, and they still can, you know, talk to the Rishiva what they need for and all that. And we have to realize every one of you have it in you to have that too. Don't think for a second, you know, the Rishiva is too cold for me, I'm not going to have a Rishiva for life. It's not like that. I told you, Rav Meir Stern was colder than this, there's no question about it. And he's still a Rishiva for life. So it's all in your Yechelus, and therefore all these fears really are unfounded and they should dissipate over your Bein Hazmanim because there's nothing to be fearful about. Another point that I want to get to is, and this is the game I wish everybody, all of you are moving up to second year Beis Medrash. And you have to realize the reality is you yourself, when you were in first year, you looked up to the older Bachar. You always were measuring things by the older Bachar. I've heard many times from Bachar coming over to tell me about this older Bachar. There's something about that when you're a younger guy in the yeshiva, you're looking up to the older guys. So now you're becoming that role model. And you have to realize that. The Bitsias is, you have 20 new guys coming in over here, or wherever else you're going to be. And the bottom line is, you're from the older guys, and everybody's looking up to you. And you have to carry yourself in such a way. You have to carry yourself with that shtoltz, quote unquote, or that guy with the kedusha that they use in Chaim Berlin or whatever it is. The point is, there has to be some level that you're an older bachar now. And you are who you are. I'm not saying you're not allowed to talk to a first year guy. I'm not saying that type of thing, you know, that's not what we mean. But the point is that you're carrying yourself with a new level of making a good impression, that the younger Bachrim should look up to you and see a level of godliness that they want to learn from you, and you be mashpi on them, and they gain from you. So until now, you were the young guys. You could do what you want. There's a certain level of keres you're able to carry because no one's looking at you. But now, l'chayra, you're on a whole different level, and people are looking up to you. You know, the Chazidish writes in a letter in the Chelek Beis, Siman Samach Zayin, he writes, Guroyon Kolshu, means a small little subtraction, a small little negativity, Shenichnas Chas V'Sholom B'Tzivyon Yishol Yeshiva, that you're allowed to enter in a beauty of yeshiva, what, you know, the whole picture, Olu La'aris Kol HaYesoy, that little bit that entered could ruin the whole foundation. Kigal Shel HaGoizim, like a pile of nuts. You have a whole pile of walnuts, right? So if you're playing your board and you have a bunch of walnuts, you start piling them up, right? So you have a huge pile in front of you, a few inches tall of walnuts. Kol Chelik V'Kaibes HaBinyan, every part of it's keeping this tall, few inches tall of walnuts. And the moment you take out one, all of a sudden everything starts rolling away. And you ruin the whole thing. So says the Chazon Ish, when it comes to a yeshiva also, if you as an older bachar are going to say one negative line, as a joke, you don't even mean it, but you say one negative line to that first year bachar, so he's coming in with a freshness and he wants to start his life over and start a new haskala. I want to turn my life around. My high school wasn't so good and now finally I'm in Beis Medrash and I want to try to be driven to a whole new level. So you come in with that mindset. He comes in with that mindset. And then you, as an older bachar, he's looking up to, throw in one line, you pull out one little mola from that pile, and all of a sudden, they became Ruchni and became Gashmi, whether it's a joke in the Gashmis of Yeshiva, whether it's a joke about the Ruchnis of Yeshiva, Ubeinach Zokas HaRuach, or maybe just the spirit of the Yeshiva. Whatever joke you make, and some small little negativity, and you just pull out one little bit of the big binyan, of the big display of what he thought the Yeshiva is, and all of a sudden, you affected him for life, that now he has a different look at his Yeshiva that he's in, and he doesn't have the same feeling of ruach and spirit and all that, and he might not steig the same, you know, throughout all his years, and everything is all galgal achayz, everything connects to the next. And who caused it? All was because of your small one. So maybe that's what he warns about the Chazon Ish, that how much responsibility a bachar carries. It's not what he's talking about, bachar min yeshiva. Every bachar carries such responsibility to not ruin what the yeshiva might be in someone else's eyes. It's something we all have to think about, how these years are our formative years that makes our whole future. The bottom line is, your first year, second, third year Beis Medrash has come out everything of your whole next, the whole life. Everything that's going to come afterwards, all based on these few years. Where you go to Eretz Yisrael is based on these few years. And based on where you go to Eretz Yisrael, where you're going to come back to. And what you're going to do when you come back. And get married, who are you going to marry. And then what type of community you're going to live in. And what type of family you're going to raise. Everything comes, it's all a gagal achayza from what? These 3 years, that you're molding yourself a foundation for life of who you are. And it's something we have to think about. It's on ourselves, you know, I want to make sure I'm making something out of myself. But it's also something you have to think about in affecting and being mashpi on others. You could go ahead and ruin a bachar, or you could really make another bachar. It's in your hands to do either one. The bottom line is, chaveir make a big difference in a bachar's life. It's not just the yeshiva that he goes to and the rabbein that he has. It's the chaveir that he's around. And it's something we all have to take responsibility for and realize what responsibility we're carrying, especially when we're moving up to as a second year bachar. The Rebbe Meir Sirotzkin Zatzal, the Yeshiva of Springfield Yeshiva, said over Moir de Gavart, on the pasuk that we say in Halal, Ani avdecha ben amasecha pitachta l'moyseiroi. David HaMelech was describing himself to Hashem as, I'm your Eved, and release me from my chains. So, Frecht, the Springfield Rosh Yeshiva, I don't understand Pasha Pshat. If you're agreeing you're a slave, sometimes slaves are locked up in chains. Sometimes they have to go in and be bound. What do you mean? You're a slave and you want to be released from your chains? What does that mean? Zot Reb Eli Meir Sorotskin, Reb Eli Yo Meir Sorotskin Zadzah. Springfield Rosh Yeshiva. The Pshat is, what David HaMelech was saying was, is that the reality of our Hatzlacha very much depends on outside environment. The environment that around us, outside of us. Many times you want to go do something, but you're embarrassed because what's that guy going to say? Well, you think twice. Even if something good, you know, you want to stark out in a certain Indian, you know, but you're afraid. Oh, what's he going to say? How's that guy going to look at me? And you sometimes cut corners in your ruchnius because of outside external limitations. A guy wants to start waking up early for chakra. Sometimes embarrassed of that roommate to make fun of him. That's the mitzvahs. The bottom line is, the outside environment affects us inside very much. And Amila, David HaMelech was saying, a tefillah to the Rabbeinu Shloimeh, Ani Avdecha, I'm your servant. Release me from all these chains. This was the chains that he was referring to. The metzias of people being worried how their friends are going to look at them, and the reaction of everybody around them and other people and all that, and therefore they have to go ahead and be mitzamtzem themselves. They can't reach higher madrigas because of what people are going to think. And in mail of this is what he was saying, a tefillah that Rabbeinu Shalom, help me not hear and look at what others say. I shouldn't feel bound and chained to whole outside environment of everybody around me. Rather, I should go to serve you from the inside and not care if I'm doing the right thing. This is a Mayridika tefillah of David HaMelech and a Mayridika vort that the Springfield Reshiva said. It's very negeya going into Ben Azmanim. When it comes to Ben Azmanim, many of us, especially when you be in a camp setting, so many times, because the camp, the oil was so hefker, almost like embarrassed to go to learn this medrash now. Like, hello, like, you're in camp, what are you going? And it's embarrassing sometimes I'm going to base medrash to learn. Or a guy getting up early for shachar, it's embarrassing. Or other things in ruchnius. Many, many times it becomes embarrassing because you care about what your friend's going to say, what the reaction of that guy is, and who knows what. And we have to realize that this was David HaMelech's tefillah. When you're serving the Rabbeinu Shalom, Hatznei Lechasim Hashem Alekecha, you go with Hashem with Tznias, means you serve Him. You have to develop a feeling of Gvura that I don't care what others say. You can't go ahead and limit your Avoida over your Ben Azmanim because of others. And this is very important. We're going into a Ben Azmanim. The Summer Ben Azmanim is Be'etzem, the worst Ben Azmanim. Sukkos, you have a yontav that's holding you down. Pesach, you have a yontav that's holding you down. There's a level of, you know, ruchnius that's being showered, and mamash like pipes of ashpa coming to you through the yom tovim. So even if you have a little time before and after, but at the end of the day, what holds you tight, you have a yontav, you're safe. Summer Ben Azmanim is 4 or 5 weeks of total freedom, total hefkerus, with no yontif, nothing. And the reality is, a person who doesn't set up his Ben Azmanim properly, Rachmana Litzlan, could really lose all his aliyah. That must go straight down the tubes. That's a scary thought. And every one of us have to plan out our Ben Azmanim before it happens, of what I'm learning, when I'm learning, when I'm davening, all these important factors that keep you going, that keep your ruchnis alive, the flame lit, as the plan before Ben Azmanim. I never did a survey. But, you know, for 20 years of experience, and Rachman al-Slan, knowing Bachram, who lost their Ruchnias over Benizmanim, and today a lot of them are not from, some of them are not even putting on tefillin every day, not Shem Shabbos, and they were Yeshiva Bachram, but they lost their Ruchnias, they went off the Derech. I didn't make a survey, but I would feel confident saying that a Bachar who had a Kviyas Itim every day in Torah are not one of those Bachram that lost it. I can't imagine the Bachram who took this that I'm telling you seriously and were Kvei Itim HaTorah and every day they had their Ruchni is Shtark. I can't imagine those Bachram had that bad Ben Azmanim and went off a Derech. If they had their Kviyas Itim of Torah, that could have saved them. Even if Rachman al-Slan, they would do the wrong things Ben Azmanim. But I believe that the Kviyas Itim HaTorah and having a Kviyas for when you're davening properly, these things are anchors that hold on to you. And Amela, it's something we have to take seriously. There was enough karbonos over the years that I've seen with my own eyes. Until today, it eats me up inside that such people who are in yeshivas, learning Torah, Mamash, B'Even and everything, could be where they are today. It's terrible. And if you don't want it to happen, Chas V'Shalom, to you, I think you have to take it very seriously to plan out a real Kviyas Itim HaTorah every day and a proper Zman for Tefillah every day to know that you have anchors that Ula Yirachim, you'll come back after Abayna Zmanim still with the Gevaldical level of Ruchnias. We just had Parshas Pinchas. The Pasuk, when it describes Pinchas' act, it says, Vayakumu mitoicha eda. You know what it means, mitoicha eda? Michatzko Levenstein's Medayik. Pinchas didn't care what anybody else said. He didn't care what everybody else thought. He went mitoicha eda and got up and did the right thing. Vayakumu mitoicha eda. Every one of us, we're going into Aveina Zmanim, we all have to be that Vayakumu Mitoicha Eda. Don't look at anybody else and just know to do the right thing because you know it's right, and just do it and not care what anybody in the Eda thinks or says. And this is in regard to doing the wrong thing also. Let's say you have a whole Chevra who are going, I don't know what today's, you know, my days, today's days is different days, you know what I mean? But like, you know, when I was growing up, like, if the guys wanted to do trouble, they would go to the movies, right? I don't know if that's something that happens today's or not. But like, you have an Olam that wants to go to a movie theater to watch a movie. It doesn't, Vayikum Etoicha Eda says, I don't care what the Eda is doing. I want to do the right thing. I know from my level of Ruchnis it's wrong. And you have to be a Pinchas to stand up and you do what's right. You don't care what people are going to think and say. I know what's right and I want to keep to my understanding of right and wrong in my Ashkafas HaTorah, in my foundation of Torah. This is just such an important point because unfortunately, many times when you have a partner in crime, it just makes it easy to do things wrong over Ben Azman. Because you have someone else doing it with you. And you have to realize that it's a partner in crime. And don't feel good because you have a partner. At the end of the day, it's a crime to your ruchnius and what you're doing. There's a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva Eger. He wrote a Sefer Yosef Oimetz. And over there, Taka quotes, it's amazing how he talks to us, because this is the thought that goes through Bachram's minds. And he speaks so clearly to all of us, telling us this importance. You don't have to trust me, you can trust the Talmud Rabbi Akiva Eger. He writes like this, Zechor es boirecho bimei b'churesecha. The Pasuk in Kehelas and Perek Yud Beis, remember your Creator in the days when you're young and you're still a Bachar. HaMelech HaChochom Mikol Odom, the Melech HaChochom from everybody, Shloima HaMelech, Hoyer B'zeh Das, was giving us Seichel understanding to tell us Lohovin HaPach Yokush HaMetzuda HaPrusa Shol Yetzer Hara. He was defining for us what the trap of the Yetzer Hara is spreading before every Bachur who is leaving Bein Hazmanim and going outside in the world. Originally, Yetzer Hara comes with a presentation as thin as a spider web. You never got stuck in a spider web. You walk right through it. If somebody's got to wipe your face off to get away from but you don't get stuck in the thin rope of a spider web. It's nothing. But that's how the beginning Yetzer Hara comes. He presents himself something very, very light, like a spider web. But Ein Hergesh, you don't even realize that he's trying to trap you. And once he gets you a fool to something so easy, then Hoyluch Mus'abe gets thicker, Kavrisus HaGolo, like the thick ropes that pull wagons. U'bazeh Yetzer Lonu Musa LaBachar. This is the Musa that every Bachar has to know. Asher B'tzel HaTorah Mistayfim. The whole year you spend your time in the shadow and the shade of Torah. Aber L'maisa B'mei HaKayetz. It comes the summertime, and people are darkam levalois tamid zman. You waste so much time, bebittel divrei Torah, with a thought that comes to your head. Yitzhar masiyam leimar. A person says, ma bekach bebittel. Who cares? I'm a vatel. At the end of the day, I learned the whole year, and now it's the summer. It's time to chill and relax and let loose. And you close your Gemara tomorrow after Night Seder, and you don't have to open it to Aleph Elul. That's what you feel at times. Bachim think like this. I put in a full year, and now is 4 or 5 weeks for me. Says the Kivega's Talmud, the Yosef Eimetz. Person thinks, ma bekach, ma nechsha, what's a big deal? I need to relax and chill to refresh myself, to come back to Elul to be able to learn. Woe, this touch a thought, this lying thought that's going through your head, that's not even true. Don't, my dear child, ever follow it. It's mamash a fire, it's going to totally destroy you. And he has a whole arichos that we can't go through. But Akoponim, he tells you how a person has to know that if you let go of Torah, there's no end to your destruction. And Emela, don't think for a second that part of chilling Ben Hazmanim is to close your Gemara and let go of Torah. You have to know that Ben Hazmanim is about refreshing ourselves, chilling and relaxing, but Kviyasitim HaTorah is the Eitz Chaim that you got to hold on to. Ramash has a whole arichas how a person let go. You think you're coming back after after the Ben Hazmanim of El, you think you'll be the same person because you just needed to relax. And all of a sudden, you have no shakas and tire anymore. It's gone. And it's a real mitzias. It's a scary mitzias. And therefore, I can't stress it enough that every bacha has to have a kriyas itum atayra every day of Ben Hazmanim. It's the only way you have anchors to really be strong and stay on the path. One time, I just want to see where we should get to. There's a Moridika muscle that Ramel Biederman set over. I think it's Kedai. I'm going to read it to you. It's in English. They printed it up in English. Obviously, Ramel Biederman didn't say it in English. But it's kedai to read it in English and hear this mashal that he gave. Because it's negeya us in many, many different areas of life in general. And it's a big yisoid to realize. A mussel was told about a very poor person who couldn't eke out a living. Whatever he tried, he failed. He had no success in any area of his life. So this person decided he's going to visit the Sar HaMazalos, the Malach that's in charge of Mazel, because he seems to have no Mazel in any area, to ask him what he should do to find his Mazel. As he was walking to the Sar HaMazalos, he saw a beautiful large tree, but the tree had no fruits on it. The tree said to him, "When you go talk to the Sar HaMazalos, mention me also. Ask him why I have such bad mazel that I can't grow fruit." "No problem," says the man. "When I meet the Sar HaMazalos, I'm going to ask for you also." The man walked further, and he met a princess who was banished from her palace. She also requested, "When you meet the Sar HaMazalos, ask him why my mazel is so bad. I was cast out, I was thrown away from the castle. Ask him what I should do to return to my greatness." The man said, "No problem, I'll do that." And he walked on further. Getting to the end of his trip, he met a lion. It was lying on the ground, ill and in pain. The lion said to him, "When you meet the Sar HaMazalos, ask him what I should do to cure myself. I'm sick and weak and in pain." The man promised, "I'll do so." And he went further to reach the Sar HaMazalos. When he returned from his trip, he had answers for the entire trio, all three of them. He saw the tree and he said, "The Sar HaMazalos told me that there's a box filled with gold and diamonds near your roots, and it's blocking nutrients in the ground from reaching your branches. When someone's going to dig up that treasure, you will start bearing fruit." So the tree pleaded to the man, "Please dig it up, dig up the treasure. You'll become wealthy and I'll be cured. I'll be able to start growing fruit." "No, no, no," said the man. "I don't have time for that. I'm busy looking for my mazel." He walked further and found the princess. "I spoke with the Sar HaMazalos. He said, you will return to your greatness when you get married. Your husband will become the king and you're going to be the queen." So the princess pleaded, "Please marry me. I'll return to the palace. You'll become king and very wealthy. Everything's going to be great." "No, no, I'm sorry," said the man. "I'm too busy looking for my mazel. I can't." And he walked on further. Then he met the lion. "Did the Sar HaMazalos tell you what I should do to be cured?" asked the lion. "Yes, he did," said the man. "Your remedy is to eat the brain of someone who throws away every opportunity that comes his way." And the lion ate him up. This is what Rav Melech Biederman said over as a mussel. And this is something that is so true to every one of us in many different areas. But I think the most important area is to being productive in these Beis Medrash years that are being offered to us. At the end of the day, we have to realize the opportunity of being in a Beis Medrash and being in a yeshiva in these prime years of our life is such a gift that's being presented to every one of you. And you have to realize when you turn it away, you're no different than this mussel. You sound like a fool, like this guy in the story. You're letting the lion eat you up. Opportunity's coming your way, and you're ignoring opportunity because you need to go ahead and whatever, so and so. This is the message that I'd like to end with. After Baruch Hashem, a long year of Hatzlacha, Baruch Hashem, everyone on their level, Leah and Hora did tremendous. We have to realize this departing message that you all are being offered tremendous opportunity by being in a yeshiva, having such our surroundings and the Saviva, whether it's here or elsewhere, wherever it is, these years of just being offered yeshiva, period, is such an opportunity. Don't be the fool of our Melech Bideman's mashal and give it up. But realize what's being presented to you and grab the opportunity to be matzliach day in, day out. Even one day left of this man, it's kedai to utilize it. Don't be a fool and just throw it away. You're being offered an opportunity even one more day. It's kedai. Every moment of these years are so precious. Chaperayin and utilize and use it. And the Ezer Hashem, if you take these years seriously, these prime years that you have, you'll see for yourself, Be'ezer Hashem, how it makes such a different effect for the future years and your future life and your mishpacha and your jobs and everything. Ad, you go on to Yenitzchias, Neitzach, Etzachar, Olam Haba. It makes a tremendous difference. The Rebbeinu Shel should bench us all, that we should take utilize our time of these Beis Medrash years and have a shtarka ben azmanim to return El with a shtarkeit, and Be'ezer Hashem will be nachas for everybody in Klal Yisrael and the Rebbeinu Shalom.